Okay, part two of the podcast from Wednesday, November 9th, 2016, Ethics. So we're talking about Kant and prostitution and his humanity formulation. And so that Kant says that prostitution is wrong because the client treats the prostitute as a means to an end, sexual gratification, without thinking about her or respecting her as a person, objectifying her, as we'd say in modern parlance. What say you? So, did you want to repeat your comment?
I said they're both wrong because
we're using each other as objects. Yeah, Kant would say not only is the client wrong, the prostitute's wrong for using this guy to get money. So, what do you think of? Yeah.
I think, assuming the prostitute is there for choice and not being forced into it, they're both making a decision. So if you say the prostitution is wrong, you take out the sexual act and just say it's a labor act, then all labor will be wrong according to that.
Right. Yeah, like what about anytime you're an employee and employer, right? You're using the employee because he's got a job for you. He's got a business. He's got a clientele. And you're using him to get money. He's using you to get money too. So you're both a couple of money grubbers who are using each other to personal advantage. How terrible is that? Like being a stripper or something like that?
Yeah, it's stripping, or there's the porn industry, or like camgirling, or like even if you're like a sugar girl, I mean, all those different aspects of
that. Or the whole sugar daddy thing, right? Or, escorts, yeah. There's like ads in various publications that will say, sugar baby looking for a sugar daddy. There's websites devoted to that. As a matter of fact, there's a girl, where was she at? eBay or something. She was trying to auction off her virginity. So it's like, now that's an extreme case, but you think about these exchanges, but if they're willing exchanges between consenting adults, where's the moral problem? Kant would say you're using that person as a means to an end, but don't we all have like voluntary cooperative relationships for mutual benefits, which we see as perfectly okay? And would prostitution fall into this case? Yeah. You make a good point that Kant is seen as this person who's sort of, I don't know what, like he says, he's kind of like a Puritan, and he thinks that desires are bad, and he's all about duty, and he's very German and regimented. But, Kant says, you got to think about other people's feelings. You have to think about how you're treating people, and you can't just treat them any fashion you like. And that includes, objectifying or abusing another person who is a person in their own right and deserves to be respected. And I think Kant would make this argument that sex isn't just like anything else. It's not something that you do as a transaction, and that there's something degrading about it, I think he would say. And that it's not to commercialize a person, something so intimate and private, and something that should be used in a, Kant would say, committed monogamous relationship, that special is something that is really only done in an act of, people do it out of desperation. And he would say, Kant might even make this argument, if he were in the social science department or a sociologist, he might say, look at the kind of people that are prostitutes. They're usually from crappy homes, often they're runaways, like that. This is the case of Professor Lane, who's been accused of trading cocaine for sex with an underage girl in the English department. What's that? No, it was real. Yeah, look in the papers. Look for, you know, teenage prostitute, cocaine, Lane Community College, English department. It'll pop right up. The guy was also an Orthodox priest. Accused, so just so I'm not sued, this is something that's all, this is all in the paper. So, but there's a guy, you know, this is a girl who's underage, so she can't really consent. I don't know what her personal story is. Her identity is actually being protected in order to, because she's underage. And this guy using drugs to get, you know, trading drugs for sex with this teenage girl. And Kant would say that, you know, you're going to be really screwed up. She's probably a runaway. She's probably been sexually abused as a child. And so this isn't really a rational free exchange. This is, it's basically a person in a position of power abusing another person who can't truly consent. So sad case. It's funny to chuckle about, but it's, I mean, you see this a lot with the cases of, in the sex industry. Now, I suppose the other side of this might be, okay, so the other objection is, like, modern life does require certain kinds of impersonal interactions. Like, imagine, like, you're going through the line at McDonald's, right? Or Burger King or some fast food joint. And, you know, the person says, you know, can I take your order, please? And you say, how are they treating you here? And they say, it's a job. What do you want? And you say, you know, I really worry about this minimum wage job thing. You know, I think about, do you worry about losing your job? Or are you looking forward to the $15 an hour? You think that's going to be a good thing? And pretty soon people behind you start honking their horns, you know, and the person says, you know, order or leave. You're holding up the line. And at a certain point, in modern life, you have to have these impersonal interactions where you don't think about the person in front of you as a person. You're just doing some impersonal exchange. Yeah.
I feel like both your comment and your thing you just said, I feel like it's kind of like where a lot of problems today are coming about, like all these impersonal things, like dehumanizing or desensitizing, all these things. Because it's, I always feel like it's unrealistic to say that human beings can, like, not have so much feeling. Or, I mean, there are different levels of that, everyone's different, but we're just intellectual beings that are capable of that, people thinking of our own thoughts and everything. So it just seems like it doesn't make sense to try and do that in a way. Do you understand?
Yeah, to take account of them. Now, maybe an answer to this might be, when you're, like, it depends on the context, like what's expected. So maybe, you know, if you're in McDonald's, you say please and thank you, and you're courteous to the person. You're not like a friend of mine from high school who they got his order wrong, and they gave him like three tacos that he didn't order in his order. They gave him everything else he asked for, and they gave him free tacos. But he was so incensed that they got his order wrong, because they always get his order wrong. He took the tacos and went up and yelled at the person behind the clerk and said, you know, I have these three tacos, and how do you even order them? And he smashes them down on the counter, and cheese and meat go flying everywhere. And he, like, yells at the person at the behind the counter. And Kant would say, that wasn't a nice thing to do. You know, you have to appreciate that it's the fast food is a hard way to make a living. And so he would say, you know, what you do is be polite, say please and thank you, and don't act like a jerk. And because, you know, there's a lot of jerks that these people deal with going through there. You just have some sympathy and compassion. And so there are certain ways you can treat people, even in impersonal interactions. Now, coming back to the prostitution example, if you say please and thank you, if you don't pay with a bad check, maybe you're okay. I don't know. So this idea that maybe Kant's not saying that you can't treat anybody in any kind of impersonal fashion, just that common courtesy is something that sort of, you know, you have a human interaction with a person. You don't have to gab about everything and ask them how they are, and, you know, as if you have like a personal relationship. But you interact with that person as a person and recognize their humanity in the way you treat them. And I think that's it. Questions or comments about the humanity formulation? The second test, the categorical imperative. Treat humanity as an ends in itself. Act so as to treat humanity as an end in itself, never merely as a means. Yes, sir.
So that says it's for only use people, but it seems like every job ever has that aspect. I mean, look at a factory. It's for only use people, and you know these people are making something, but you're treating them as if they're a tool or an object. Whereas, you know, say like a production line on a car, they used to be people, and now it's, you know, machines and stuff. So it's wrong. Was it wrong to use those people before, even though the technology wasn't there?
I think Kant would say is, I don't know too much about economic views, but I think he would probably say that as long as the exchange is willing, and as long as you treat the workers, you don't treat them the same way you treat a machine. That you don't abuse them, you don't yell at them, you don't try to manipulate them to work harder, you don't make their lives miserable in order to get them to work harder. You don't expose them to dangerous conditions.
So what China's doing would be something he'd oppose because they're being oppressed, they're working in horrible conditions.
Yeah, I Kant would say, yeah, that if you have inhumane working conditions, although those might vary, you know, depending on like what's economically feasible in a country, it might be the standards of what sort of a proper care might be a little different. And as long as you don't, you know, it's hard to say where the threshold would be. We're out of time here. I don't want to keep you guys over. So we can talk in my office if you want. So don't forget to take the midterm by tomorrow at 7 o'clock or ask me for an extension.